This is a production of Cornell University.
All right. Now that we called the meeting to order, because it is the first meeting, we all have to take the Student Assembly oath of office, showing that we are committed to serving the student body ethically. So if everyone could stand and repeat after me. In view of the trust of the Cornell community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor, I, do solemnly affirm to fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative. I will engage in open and honest debate in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body, address the issues of my fellow students, and strive to improve the quality of life and performance for all students. All right. Thank you very much. If everyone could sign them and give them to VP IOS Lucas Shadowitz by the end of the meeting, that would be great. So now we are moving on to open microphone. For anyone who's new here to a student assembly meeting, open microphone is the opportunity for anyone to address the student assembly about any issue, ranging from, you know, just campus concerns to anything college town, really anything. So is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak now? All right. So if no one wants to speak during open microphone, we are going to move on to announcements and reports. And the first one is an elections update from Director of Elections, Weinberg.
Everyone, for those who I have formally met, I'm very much looking forward to serving as Director of Elections this coming year. I'm happy to report that everything is in this upcoming fall election, and we had 35 candidates for the director position and 2 candidates for the director position. And quite a few of our candidates were just as activated, they put wave and sent love, and they are very much ready to begin their campaign. I want to urge everyone to take an active seat in this election process. This coming Wednesday, 5 p.m. in the Liberty Street Hall, we'll be having a candidate board. I'm happy to report that members of the executive board will be actively promoting that with media outlets and social media to make it interactive as useful in the social media world. I also want to encourage everyone to volunteer with tabling on North Campus. It's going to be held in a voting room. That's going to be a week from Monday and a week from Tuesday, and it's going to be forthcoming. So everyone wants to meet out to get the word out for this election. Hopefully we can use the lessons from it to build upon a more conducive spring campaign. Thank you.
Thank you. We're moving on to a voter registration announcement, which is actually my own announcement. So we are partnering with the administration to try and encourage the student body to register to vote for the national elections this upcoming November. So tomorrow, actually, there'll be an email going out to the student body with information about voting and registering in the elections. And if you want to vote absentee, if you want to register in Tompkins County, if you want to register, or if you're just going to go home and vote. So just look out for that email tomorrow. They also asked that I write a short note at the top of it, just because they thought it would, if a student was doing it, it would encourage more students to do it, as opposed to a drier email from the administration. So if some people ask you, you know, about registering to vote, I just, when you have a moment, read up on the process of registering, and you all should register also, so that you can answer questions, because I'm sure some people are going to reach out to you since you're an SA member. Oh, and the last part of that announcement is that we have asked Vice President Susan Murphy and President Scorton if they'd potentially sign on to an op-ed from the SA, and if anyone is interested in, I assume everyone would be interested in signing on to it, But I will let you know more details as that develops, whether we'll be drafting something, because everyone can take part in the writing process, and everyone will have their names signed to it if you're interested. So, next announcement is a college representative announcement by Representative Smith.
Okay, so all college representatives got an email from me, not from the government, a few days ago. Just basically, we need to find the time to get together. I know that some of you who are not going to be here, but the rest of you, just a lot of people work, so I'll do a little bit aside and get the room, I'll be back, just so we can kind of sit down in the space and try to get this consistency going throughout the conference. Also, just to kind of give you guys, a lot of you guys, a sense of how public public information works, and just keep some nice collaboration.
Okay. Are there any, since it's usually we're stricter about keeping the announcements and the reports to what's on the agenda, but are there any other reports and announcements from anyone here that you just want to make to the SA since it's the first meeting?
Just a quick announcement. Committee applications are due tomorrow, so if anyone in the audience is interested in applying for a committee, feel free to do so. And you go to assembly.cornell.edu /staffing, and also encourage all your friends to apply.
Thank you. So we are waiting to hear back from Dr. Renee Alexander. She is the Associate Dean of Students and Director of Intercultural Programs at Cornell. She's coming here today to present to us and answer some questions. So in the meantime, the first resolution is approval of the 2012-2013 standing rules. And to just give everyone who's new here some background, just as an essay, we have to pass, before we start working on sort of initiatives for the student body, we have to pass some of these procedural resolutions just so we, as an SA, can function. So as the year goes on, we're going to be sort of delving into issues like related to student health, safety, et cetera. But for this meeting, it's going to be more procedural, just a heads up for everyone. So with that, VP Mueller.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to University. I hope you all got an email and are a pretty good idea of what's going on now. I hope you enjoy your proceedings. And again, welcome to the Liberty Week coming out. Thank you, Dean Hubbleton, our teacher, students who showed up to our first year. It's fantastic. And of course, the office staff who have been really helpful already in helping guide us through our first 5 years of the semester. So, I hope you get a chance to look through these standing rules. They are as they were in the previous year. The only changes I made were the actual year that is in the standing rules. And if you look at Rule 9 under Section 1, that has to do with some of the outreach requirements that we decided upon at the end of last year and putting in the writing of the official this year. The only thing we do have the opportunity to modify the standing rules at any point throughout the semester in the first position. So we really need to just pass the system and get away from here.
All right, thank you. We are going to open up the speakers list to anyone who wants to make comments on this. The first person is VP Desai.
So I'd like to propose a small amendment. This is a typo, but Section 4, Rule 6 and 7, it should be 500, not 1500, for all amounts that above which must go to the appropriate committee. Last page, if that helps.
Yeah, okay. So what is it?
Rule 6 and 7, over 250 and under 1500, it should be under 500. And then Rule 7, request 1500, and then at the end, request 1500 or greater, those should both also be 500.
Do you have a Justin? Yes, I have a question.
Okay. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Kerr. And you have a minute.
Okay. So
that question is going to be directed at Executive Vice President Mueller, and he can.
I yield to Vice President Mueller.
Yes. So this is going to be the same thing that we did last year, except it's a little bit of a bigger number. There's just got to be a very common during executive session, but pretty much you just want to fill out an average tracker. Like I said, that's an email about what you want to run through, just so we can keep track of what, and then I'm going to feel that John.
I don't think it sounds like a lot off the top of your head, but I think I'll do a little bit of a note here, and maybe you I just want to repeat the average. But the, I think that the feedback might be actually very quickly because there are lots of time opportunities during the day, just like if you have two classes or lunch or something, where you can go. We have a bunch of people today to 6:30 for an event that was not going to happen today. And it was, 45 minutes out of our day. And 8 in a whole semester is really one every 2 weeks with maybe an extra somewhere. So I think it's going to be cool.
So that's actually time for that question.
Motion to extend.
There's been a motion to extend, and it's been seconded. So I'm going to put another minute for speaking time to John to continue answering. Aaron?
Yeah, I would say so. Because we haven't had a previous meeting before.
Okay. Yeah, I'm moving to today.
Is there a second? It's been second. By the way, for the audience, Aaron is our parliamentarian, so he is the master of parliamentary procedure here. And also, if I interrupt a couple times as we're going, it's just because we do have new members in the audience, and I want to explain some of the concepts of the essay, just so everyone is aware of them. So this resolution has been moved to business of the day, which means that we can vote on it today. And instead of just question and answer to the sponsor of the resolution, it is now sort of open for comments for amendments. So we are going to open up the speaker's list to that. Yes. I don't believe that there's a number last year. I think it was, I think there wasn't an official policy. I think the Vice President of Outreach position is a relatively new position as far as VPs go. So I think it's in the process of writing rules for it.
Can you open it?
Okay.
You're right, that's you. However, it was, you had to put on the event in one of them, right? So we're essentially, we thought it was very valuable for some college events, but for others, like our representatives, trying to get these large scale outreach events organized that really reach to our decisions didn't go as well as like for some of the small college events. So, usually the opportunity of wanting to do something like that. However, we wanted to make it more, give you more, instead of making you spend a lot of time trying to plan to have one road. Actually, letting you just know you can experience a lot of other events that are already happening on campus. I think that's the theory behind the decisions.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Block. Section 3, Rule 3.
Right.
So that's still in the standing rules. You can motion, someone can motion to strike it from there. Okay. There's a motion on the floor to strike Section 3, Rule 3 from the standing rules. Is there a set? There's dissent. Can you explain your dissent?
The reason, first of all, I'm pretty sure that that's in our bylaws also. I'm pretty sure that's in our bylaws. And the reason that people acted there was because we needed a mechanism for college representatives to be accountable to their constituencies. If you take this out, there is nothing else in the bylaws that are specific about what a college representative is supposed to do. So that's why that's like a measure for us to act for those who are helping to get to know our constituencies.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Kerr, and remember that this is right now, we're still on the motion to strike. Yes.
Okay, so I think that this is a very good point, especially for college athletes. However, I would suggest that somebody who would actually change the language so that it says college athletes rather than all representatives, or, in my experience, being that other friend of last year, very difficult to create a method that really adjusts what other students were doing, because really all the graduate population is the consistency of athletic representatives. I think that those average events satisfy that requirement of going out and having some accountability in their decisions. I don't know if you agree with that. But I'm going to let the end go on. Somebody else can make that.
All right, you have 1 minute.
Along the lines of what you said, hosting events for your college also forces you to get into the administration if you want to throw it in their building. So it's actually perfect foot in the door to start talking to your administration and your executive management team in your college. I did it for my college event last year, and we developed a very good relationship that I still use today and that they write. I would be in favor of also limiting it to constituent specific.
So, do you still keep your motion to strike on the floor? So it's been next on the speaker's list is Parliamentarian Santangelo.
You would still have the same thing in effect. The wording is almost exactly the same. So, yeah.
Okay.
I would like that. In that case, then, clearly it's something that can be just definitely, honestly, and it's something that can also be changed. We should be better looking for it. So, I would be happy to sit down with you guys who are working, and Rob, who are most invested in it, and we will sit down and figure out exactly what language.
Yeah, so I was actually going to say the same thing, just bring it back in. VP of Outreach Gitlin is going to be working on sort of outreach plan in general, is going to be discussing that in the next couple meetings, both general body and outside of it. So I'm sure there are going to be resolutions that are going to come out of that to sort of streamline the rules for outreach with college, constituency, et cetera. So right now we're moving back to the general resolution. Are there any motions on the floor or opening? I'm just going to give the floor to Representative Scalfo. Did you have a point of information?
Yeah, point of information.
Yeah.
So if it's in two places, why do we need it in two places? It's just making it more complicated. So wouldn't it make more sense to strike it now instead of having it in two places? It's not like it's going to more strictly enforce it. It's in our charter. We don't need it in our standing rule as well.
Aaron?
Yeah.
So basically, as it goes, our charter and bylaws overrule the standing rules. So if it's in our charter and bylaws, then that's what sort of wins the day. I think the standing rules more emphasizes what the practices we want of this SA to be. So it might just be emphasizing the fact that we want to do this. So I'm going to move back to the resolution, and it's going to be figured out at a later point.
I follow the question.
Do you have dissent to that?
I want a motion to strike it, and we can just vote to get it over with.
Okay. There's, before it's called to question, there's... Okay. Is there any dissent to striking that from the standing rules? So that's unanimous consent, right? There's dissent.
Because I'm just going to go to my consensus, but I think there are a number of members that feel that they should be talked about more. I don't think we should make a quick decision on this. Obviously, the average plan has only been effective for 1 year, and I want to make it as effective as possible and as effective as possible. So I think we can wait on it and do a resolution in a few weeks, a month, whatever, but I don't think we should rush on it right now.
Can I have the speakers? Let's put my motion up.
Okay. So I'm now opening up, since there's dissent, I'm opening back the speaker's list to Roniel's motion to strike. We're going back into the motion to strike Rule 3.
First, I guess to very briefly explain my dissent, I think we should strike it because, like Representative Scalfo said, if we change this in the bylaws later, it doesn't do anything, but if we decide to strike it ultimately, like Representative Block said, and like I think some people at this table are in favor of, then we would have to come back here and strike it again here. But if we only want to amend it to the change that Representative Kerr was talking about, we would only have to change it. So if we're already here, I feel like we might as well strike it. I feel like it's pretty simple. If you don't want to strike it, then vote against it. I'm going to call the question.
Second.
It's been called to question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Okay, so we are now voting on striking Section 3, Rule 3, from the standing rules. We're going to have a placard vote for this. All in favor of striking it, please raise your placards. Is that... all opposed to striking it, please raise your placards. Are there any abstentions? By a vote of 13-5-1, Rule 3 is stricken from the standing rules. Is that, do I have the numbers right on there?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. So we are moving back into the general resolution. It's been called to question. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we are going to have a placard vote again to pass the standing rules. All in favor of passing the standing rules, please raise your placards. Did you get 19 for that? 19? All opposed to passing the standing rules? Any abstentions? So by a vote of 19-0-0, Resolution 1, approval of the 2012-2013 standing rules passes. Thank you, John. So now, wait, is Renee still here? Okay. So moving back, we're going to move back a step on the agenda. We're now welcoming Associate Dean of Students and Director of Intercultural Programs, Renee Alexander. Dr. Alexander works at 626 on North Campus. If for the freshmen in the room, if you haven't visited yet, I recommend going there. It's a really great space. I'm going to hand off to Renee to speak to us for a little while and then answer some questions if you're okay with that.
Is this on? I'm very okay with that. Good afternoon, and I am delighted to be here. I think I know most of it. This is the first session?
Yes.
This is some of the issues, so I welcome the leadership team. I apologize to the mix, and it's been quite a bit of action for me this week. I saw a little bit earlier with the provost, so we had to pick some of the things, and I want to reference some of his comments in just a minute. Thank you for those of you that can make it today. I'm not quite sure exactly what you want me to focus on, but I'm going to touch on several areas. I might be talking about what we are doing at the building and talk about the momentum that I hope our diversity initiatives are beginning to gather here at the university. 626 First Amendment has been in business for just about a year. We moved in the middle of September, and we are still evolving. We are understaffed, and we are under-resourced, and we're working on that. That said, a lot of positive things have been happening there. For those of you that don't know, both on the assembly and the folks behind me, it is the home of the LGBT Resource Center, the Asian American Center. It's the home of LAMA, a program that we started last year called FDEI, Student Development University Initiative. The new intergroup dialogue project, which is teaching the course for academic credit, is also housed there. It's coming up this year with the provost office. And you'll hear some of the initiatives coming out of the building. We have an official name. The official name is the Center for Intercultural Dialogue. It has really been branded as the Intercultural Center, and it's certainly not easier to say in the Center for Intercultural Dialogue. But that word dialogue is very important. So as you refer to the building and one of the new names in 626, like I said, it's been branded as the Intercultural Center. The dialogue word is in play. We want this space to represent not that these conversations will be limited to 626 First Amendment, but we would like this to be the model of the conversations, the dialogues, the discussions, and the positive movements that need to be taking place on this campus. Regarding people talking, working together across difference, you've heard me talk about this. We are working on several things, including, I just finished an email with Sigma Pi. We're going to be partnering with Sigma Pi, who, as you remember very well, was in the midst of the big controversy that was mentioned on John last May. But we are going to be partnering with Sigma Pi to host some events, some activities that will begin to bring communities together across the country. They've been very, very open to trying to move the diversity in the needle. And to that end, like I said, I'm working with them. We'll be hearing probably earlier next week about some of the things we're going to do. We're excited about that. I've said this before, but this year there are some events taking place in our immediate environment, in our communities, that have gotten a lot of people's attention. We've had coverage on the front page of the Sun regarding the bias and what's happening in our communities. I am sensing a growing discontent among a number of students, outrage among others. And according to some of my sources that I found my interest in my attention in a minute. I had lunch with Representative Ex-Officio Alexander Morris, we met last week for lunch and had a conversation with Adam Hitler. That not everybody on this campus seems to be outraged or seems to think that this is an issue. I also believe that a good number of students care about these issues, but there are some in our community that don't seem to think this is very important. However, I see enough voices on this campus, I hear enough feedback to know that there are students who really care deeply about this issue. And I think that as the semester begins, and you never know when these events are going to happen, the university takes it very seriously. From the lead top executive leadership on down, we take it very seriously. But that's only one step, that's rather passive to take it seriously. I was going to meet today with my supervisor and the students. The Vice President of Communications, Tommy Bruce, and other partners, community partners, about how do we respond to these incidents. Beyond response, though, are we going to passively respond when something happens like this, or are we going to engage and try to mobilize the community? And I'm hoping that I can work with your board here, this board, this body of school leaders, to engage broader discussions across our community. We can't touch everyone, we're not going to change everybody's mind, but you guys are much too young to remember Richard Nixon's campaign called The Silent Majority. I think I was a college student in Michigan, I see a head waving over there, thank you, Peter. Must be a history major or government major over there. But the Silent Majority was an untapped body of people who were thinking in a certain way, but we're not articulating it and discussing it. And I honestly think that there's a silent majority on this campus of people who are concerned about these issues. So are we going to passively respond and read about it in the paper and then have a response on my office response to something that we call Cornell Response? You want to hear more about it? It'll be a response mechanism to a bias incident. So the students can come and talk, engage. But also hopefully take more steps about mobilizing, about moving forward, and about engaging your constituents to want to take these issues on, to want to dialogue, and want to take action. You can't stop people from doing things with these types of actions, but you may be able to move the needle in terms of people's consciousness. So, it is the dawn of a new academic year. I see fresh faces around the table. And I'm sure you'll have your initiatives, but I sit here before you and I shall return. I'm only an administrator and an alumna who cares very deeply about this institution, but you all are the leaders around the table, and I'm hoping that you will have the discussion with me and others that will help us engage in this forum. I really, really, really need your support. I'm only one person, and I'm certainly not a student, but I care about these issues. So I'm going to stop there and see if any of you have any questions for me.
Thank you very much, Dr. Alexander. So we are going to open up the speakers list to questions, and actually we're also opening up to the audience. Anyone who wants to ask a question can get on the speakers list, and every third question will be a community member. So just if you do, and Ross, VP of Outreach, will go out and see if anyone in the audience does have questions. So to open up the speakers list, first is Representative Smith.
Going forward, I don't know if you can go back on anything that she was
The next question is from Vice President of Public Relations, Reedy.
Hi, thank you for joining us, Dr. Alexander. I really appreciate you coming out again. So my question was around the vast majority that you mentioned. I guess all the people that quote unquote need to be there the most, the people that I guess feel left out, the people that still have questions. Do you have any ideas around engaging those people and making them, feel like speech and not necessarily mute? And also, what kind of things can we do to partner with you and your office to engage those staff members?
How
can
we get them more aware is difficult question. We may want to start with a cohort like first year students in the residence hall. I like the idea of working with first year students that are fresh and new. And if you take a look at some of our student data, a lot of our students come here wanting to experience diversity. And the data is very clear. 80% of our white students come from mostly completely white high schools, and 90% come from mostly completely white communities. If you look at the racial data for underrepresented minorities, Blacks, Latinos, Native Americans, even Asians, about half of our students of color, only half come from schools that are mostly or completely white, and communities that are mostly completely white. The demographic question, what that means is that you have students of color coming here overwhelmingly with more experience around diversity, but our white students claim that they want to experience this when they get here. I think they're doing a good enough job at the university beyond that degree of comfortability when students first get here. So I'd be interested in working with our ADRHC. Maybe we can pilot a couple of focus groups or community town hall discussions. We may want to start at this right next one like this, because I already have a McClue. So these discussions may be already going on, but maybe we can take two or three residents all in and freshman those and see if we can. Because programming is part of what we're supposed to be doing. I take a look at freshmen as I want to Appel on our community, and I see lots of examples of people interacting across the university. They're still fresh and they haven't been changing. So I think this is something that we can work on very easily with resident hall directors and colleagues.
And just to give you a heads up, Renee, there are about 15 freshmen in the audience who are running for the freshman seats. So, you got some students to work with already, and I'm sure they'd be happy to talk to you.
Wow. Good. You'll be getting my visit card. Thank you for pointing that out.
Of course. Next question is from Representative Block.
Give it a second. Come on.
Hello, thank you for the confirmation that when you speak about wanting to work with you on this project, I think the assembly is great as a company almost unanimously and it's pretty successful project that you put forward. Definitely a lot of people to live. I just have two questions. One quick question on how the search is going for you, how that search is going. And then I think what's going to be a larger project is about the role of 66. I know that we often talk about the future of social center and the system for everyone, but I think that a lot of times right now, you're seeing this as well known in general or as well known as it should be, and it's also seen a lot as the minority building, it's a number of these systems that also help the community. So I guess I was just wondering what can we do, what can be done to make it a community open systems?
I'll take the question. I'll take the first question first. The reason why I was late to this meeting was I was at a meeting with HR in regards to fleshing out the job description for a new assistant dean of students who will have a lot in his or her portfolio that shares number one primary responsibility. A lot of it is a big job. It's a lot of money that I'm just telling you about. They oversee a lot of money, they touch a lot of students, and it's critically important. So in the short term, I'm here advising what they committee of several residents hall projects that are working with me. The top priorities. They're also very good start, by the way, from HHI grants, giving some of the tensions and contentiousness that was around byline funding and petitions and UPS last year. What a difference it makes. So it's a very important position. So the timeline is that this is hot off the press, as I just discussed it myself with HR team. And we've got to get a few things produced and actually be done by the middle of October. We're going to conduct an internal search for the position. Lots of talented people here that I think that we can draw from our pool. And it is highly relevant for the fact that we better get somebody in that job by the special meeting in January. I think we're going to get off on the crown next year. Okay? We're going to move this process very, very quickly. The second answer, is one that calls for deeper thought. I've been modeling this intercultural center on the Greenfield Intercultural Center at the University of Pennsylvania. The been around about 25 years. Some locals, if you have any knowledge of UPC campus, Penn campus, it's a block away from campus. 26 years they've been in business, and what they are doing now is what I'm trying to do, or what we're trying to do from the very start. You bring out an interesting point. It is perceived as a minority building. Does that mean that majority of people feel less welcome, feel less ready to be there? This is one of the things that you can struggle with. I'd like to think that we are off to a better start. The building hasn't been as well run as it should be, okay? Especially from someone who has a long story of advertising business. I'm a very good brander, but we focused last year really on getting the programs up and running. We got all the staff, so we launched the LGBT resource center from that space, which happens to be a very diverse space. Very diverse student population, so we are thrilled that they are bringing in a wonderful process of coordinating the members of the community, the broader community. We want to have activities and we want to be known for a building that appeals to all Cornellians. So that means we have to shatter some stereotypes, which is intercultural needs for people of color, okay? That word dialogue is very important in our title. And again, the building is the short name of intercultural center, but center for intercultural dialogue. And so we have to build programs. The building is symbolic of the conversations that we need to be having, but they don't have to be in that building. They can be, in fact, that building doesn't hold enough people to get everybody in. So we have to think in terms of these institutions, like this room, you know, where we can get people in the room to share a variety of experiences. There are cultural experiences, and all that stuff is great, but at some point, we have to start talking about difference and what that means, and we have to have some, I don't even want to say unpleasant conversations, but talking about these issues is simply, a lot of people feel very uncomfortable, but we have, I am confident that we can have these discussions and do it in a positive way, and have it move forward.
Thank you.
That was a long answer, I'm sorry.
So we have time for two more questions. First is Representative Muir.
Thank you very much for coming to talk about this. So I guess my question is in regards to your intent and course of action with regards to the community. So what specifically, or what are your goals to get the community more involved, such as Simplify, and how do you want to start that conversation? And to that extent, from my perspective, that discussion for refugee freshmen would be the best way to get involved.
I couldn't agree with you more. Freshmen, I just mentioned trying to get something going that I'm going to call. If you don't mind, I'd like to defer your question just a little bit longer because I have two meetings with Sigma Pi, one tomorrow and one Tuesday or Wednesday. And I'd like to make sure that we are all on the same page. I can tell you this, that they are very open and receptive. And not in a guilty sort of way. Last year was very, very tense, if you remember. It was very, very tense at a very difficult time. But it was also very eye-opening. They seem to have really embraced this, and they tend to have a leadership opportunity in this. It certainly can't speak for the whole community. I had a conversation with Trustee Warren last week, and he said that a lot of folks can be indifferent to this issue. It's not going to bring everyone's consciousness, but we are very trying to start. So may I come back in a couple of weeks and give you an update? And again, this MGLC assistant team is going to speak to very, very prominently. Okay, and I'm going to remind you that this is a marathon, not a sprint. So we have to start someplace. And I'm a firm believer in taking a chunk of something, just like the 56, take it, launch it, do it well, claim success, and keep it. And that's what we're going to do.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Cho. Mojo.
Thank you.
the red button.
Wait a second. Now it should be good.
Hello?
Hi, Dr. Lee.
Hi,
Dr.
Okay,
so I kind of have a couple things I wanted to say, but this is also a big question. So I feel like in relation to these things to hate crimes, I guess, on campus. I feel like this is going to be a common theme. Like, we have diversity as well. I think everyone understands that. I feel like everyone in general is different, but it's the people that actually do these hate crimes. How exactly are we supposed to, you know, instruct them, and how are they going to learn in the first place? Because people who learn about, I guess, commit these crimes, do they learn? Will they actually attend the events that 626, you know, wrote, or the Intergroup Dialogue Project? And I feel like those who are open-minded are the ones that actually come to these, you know, these Intergroup Dialogue Projects and the events that 626 wrote. So do you feel that 626 or even Intergroup Dialogue Project target groups the right individuals?
Your point is well taken, that the people that commit violent crimes and hate crimes are the least likely to be the ones in the room. And we're not going to change anybody, either, nor wouldn't that be great if we could. That said, we don't want a handful of people who, for whatever reason, want to act in a violent and hateful way to poison and taint our campus climate. And it's up to us to ensure that this campus climate remains warm and healthy and wholesome for everybody. And so you're going to have people who act out and do very foolish, stupid things. They should not command our attention. And this is where the silent majority comes in. If we react in a forceful and organized way to let people know who are perpetrating these things, that you're not going to get away with doing. You are not going to grow up on this campus. You are not going to poison our climate. You are not going to shift our attitude and control the conversation and the immediate coverage. But people have to organize to do that. How many times will it take? Will these isolated incidents, or will they not serious enough? But I've seen worse incidents. I remember I was at a meeting today and people reminded me of standing here. I had just gotten back to Cornell when a past student was stabbed by a white student here. And the response certainly seemed rather different to me. I think a lot of people felt very uncomfortable, whether the racial incident, the perpetrator was shouting racial epithets. The issue is racist, a lot of people feel very uncomfortable. It's not just race. So how do we get the perpetrators in the room? Maybe we won't. But how do we spread a message across our community? What role do leaders have? And I might view it as just a strong role in this, because in order to qualify as a leader, people have to follow you, okay? And you have a lot to do with setting the tone and influencing how people think on your campus. Doesn't happen overnight. There are ways, and this is what we have to think of, and that's okay, is there are events, activities, and conversations that we need to organize and structure. We're not going to just conquer role today, but we can start a conversation. And I think leaders have a lot to do. We can model the behavior that we want people to embrace, and I think leaders will have a lot to do with the conversation. So thank you for your question. And we'll have dinner again this summer. Has this system improved?
Yeah, we actually just got a new sound system for the room, which thanks.
Use
it properly. With Dean Hubbell's and Keith's help. Thank you. So we're going to have one last question, and Renee's going to come back, hopefully.
Michelle, I'll be here sitting in under me. I have a thought for you guys.
And we're going to have a meeting, at least one meeting at 626 this semester, so which we should all look forward to. VP Desai, the last question, and Dan, I'm sure you'll have an opportunity in another form.
Thank you.
you, Dr. Alexander, for coming. Good to see you again. So my question is just very briefly, since a lot of us weren't here over the summer, I know this went down a lot. At the end of last semester, we saw the 14 destinations plan come forward, which asked a lot of departments to develop their own internal practices and policies and specific goals for diversity. I know that we've personally seen what's been going on in student academic services with Susan Murphy, but I know that's happening all across the university, and we haven't really updated on any of that. So if you do know, I know that they have, I think, an early October deadline, so if there is any update that you think we should be aware of about the FM.
I can give you a quick update. We are at the point now where all of the vice presidents and deans who were required to submit a proposal have done so, and the committee has reviewed them, and some were very, very well, and others have returned to their offers. To your delight, and I know you will be delighted to know that the president and the provost have been very, very involved in this. We have a committee that reviewed the proposals, and we recommended that seven would be returned, and the president and provost said no, more like 12 or 13. So they've been reading you very carefully and taking this very seriously. So in fact, I just received two today, but I haven't been able to read them on my mobile. I'm going to get to them over the weekend. What happened was the committee came up with the four broad areas of composition, engagement, inclusion, and academic achievement. We developed an initiative that each dean or vice president could choose from. Everybody had to choose a composition of them, but there were a menu of other options to select. And so this gives the authors or the deans and vice presidents a broad range of what they think they need to be working on. And remember, again, this is a marathon, it's not a sprint. But this is not just a group of diversity professionals sitting around the room. This is being executed at the highest levels of the university. Something that I'm very impressed with, because remember, this committee, I have kind of faced up to whether we're here. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. That diversity initiatives are often well attended, but they can also crumble and go by the wayside. However, this has peaked, and because of the commitment of the president, the provost, and the highest levels of the university, I think that we're going to have a successful campaign. This is just the beginning. This is not going to be one pass or two passes. This is a long-term commitment, and I'm optimistic. And you'll be hearing more about it. May I make a comment?
Of course.
I received a proposal. May I say this, Representative Smith? May I? I received a proposal from Representative Smith over the summer. A very well-written, I guess it's called a resolution, okay? And you'll probably, I'm not sure of his thunder, but he wrote a resolution that, and the issue that you guys were leaving on campus last spring was student representation on the University of Diversity Council. And so I thought that he authored a well-written resolution. And I'm sure you'll be sharing it with me, but looking at the textures around the table and knowing a lot about how you guys roll, I expect you to present this to the administration and be sustained in your efforts, because unlike a lot of colleges and universities, this place actually listens to students. You may not think that, but students have a big impact on this campus, and so it's my qualification to be there. Let me say that if this is something that you're looking at, be unwilling. All right? If you think that you really deserve a place on this committee, I mean, I represent you, but if you think you need representatives on this body, I would be looking for more persistence. And I bet you something will happen.
Thank you, Renee. We really appreciate it. Can you give a round of applause?
In closing, I'd like to say that I really value the work that you all do. I do. I sat there last year a lot. I worked at the UDF. I was
Thank you very much. All right, so we are moving on to the next portion of our agenda. We are moving on to Resolution 2, approval of the 2012-2013 operating budget, so we can do stuff. Sponsoring that is Vice President of Finance, Desai. List. First on the speakers list is Representative Enrico. Next on the speakers list is Representative Smith.
Just
just out of curiosity, I know this is the same thing that it was last year, but what is the rationale for having a $2,000 outreach budget? I don't have enough of what you guys are expecting to make any questions. I'm just curious now that we've started other debate about not doing programming or something. I would be the first to do that.
So the reason that I kept it in there was because when I checked the bylaws, we still have the requirement for everyone to remember the SJ service driver convention. I assume that requires money. I personally do advocate for moving away from that and being and having it be more engagement and action. I don't know the outreach is doing, but that is but engagement based process where money is required for the program.
Next on the speakers list is Representative Pritchett. Speaker's list is Representative Block. Next on the speaker. Yeah, I'd like to echo that. Anyone here, please keep it to questions. Next on the speaker's list is Student Trustee Boris.
Can you explain the sort of rollover estimated that money from last year, or is that the amount we find the if you notice the battle of the numbers with the 15,000 that I did, it was like a success. So again, I'm using a plug to go ahead and the real number because I didn't have the real number. So that actual number is going to be 15,000 or 75,824.
$10,000 plus the $15,000 that I just added.
Okay, then that money that's rolling over from last year?
That's money that's just remaining in our budget from the end of last year.
Okay, and then going on the
efficiency standpoint and spending money, do you, with this new budget, do you put an estimate
for
how much
money
will roll over
into
next year?
Yeah, the projection is going to be around
$20,000. In percentage terms?
In terms of
our budget?
Well, we have around $50,000, we have about $50,000 available for the plan on rolling over $20,000 and that makes us
60%. Okay.
I'd also be hesitant to make projections like that because there are a lot of projects that come up over the course of the year which will require funding. Next on the speaker's list is VP Luke Shevitz.
I just had a question about the committees. Have you thought about combining all of the funds for all the committees with the exception of appropriations, because their situation is a little bit different, and combining all the funds for all the committees into a pool and then having them approved through both of us whenever they need the funds for certain events? I think that my thought on that is that then it's not there for them to use and they aren't trying to just use the money, rather they have to ask for approval.
Yeah, I definitely think about that. The reason that I went about funding the specific groups is that it really matters because there are certain committees that have consistently spent money on the public service committee, one of the six hours of the bachelor, but also in the last couple of years, consistently spent money on legitimate projects, and I didn't want to get really regulated by having to have to ask for money when I have to be validated.
So what are your thoughts on having certain committees pulled out where they have the funds already there and then the rest of the committees have some amount of money put aside out of the like special project fund, some money put aside if they do have a question, or would in that case if like say the environmental committee needed $50 or something, would that be pulled out of the special projects fund anyways? Or what would that be pulled out of?
So if you were to do the system that you were talking about, I would recommend having a set budget for appropriations, a set budget for PhD, and then a general separate budget for other committee programs. Because special projects kind of just a whole other spot, and you want to be able to pull something out and pull that we can project and limit our own spending.
Okay.
The last question, do you want to be on the speaker's list?
Yeah.
Okay. Second to last question goes to Representative Kerr and then Representative Cho, and then we're going to move on the agenda.
Real quick, what exactly warrants the 109.9% increase in special projects budget?
So as this happens very quickly, because we're spending $4,000 or a little bit over $4,000 on the microphone set. And I just wanted to pull that out and do that.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
What is the process for recommending that a committee to be funded?
What is the process? Do you know that? I'm going to yield to Roniel.
So our budget is separate. We've already asked for some activity fee money. We can't get the amount of money we can get. We can re-proportion the money that we have to a committee. So you would make a motion and say, diamond committee is earning $0. We fund it between diamonds. For some reason, you thought the scholarship fund is really going to make a motion to pull X amount of dollars somewhere else in the budget. You specify what the line item would be. You can say, SA admin go down by X and dining go up by X. Special projects are reserved. I would recommend if anyone else is
and that's the young driving process, even though it's not funded directly.
Says theoretically, Ivy Council could, like any other initiative, apply for a special project, which would go to the Appropriations Committee and then to the floor of the SA. So with that, we're closing the speakers list. For resolution 2, thank you very much, VP Desai. A lot of work, and I'm sure everyone recognizes that. Great, thank you. So we are moving on in the agenda to resolution 3, which is changes to the SAFC guidelines, calling up SAFC co-chair Maddie Gruber and former SA liaison to the SAFC, Runeel Desai, and also current SAFC liaison, Cameron Pritchard. Thank you. This is new business, so it's not being voted on today. So we're restricting it unless someone motions. So right now, we're restricting it to questions only. So we're opening up the speakers list. Trustee Forrest. Can I just stop you for a second? I actually mentioned this in the elections meeting yesterday, but the Student Assembly Finance Commission funds between 400 and 500 student organizations on campus every semester, so it's a big funding commission. And right now we're discussing some, there have been some major changes to it over the past couple of years, so we are basically discussing some changes to it right now. Did that answer your question? Oh, skipped over it? There's a motion to extend. It's been seconded. You have another minute.
Okay. So the question about allowing the court to basically, we were worried about the groups that were throwing events to make money, which they were making money. So, an example is we had a group last year that pretty much had nothing to do with music or like a concert or anything like that. We were able to hip hop concert to raise money on campus, and for us, that's not an efficient use of funds because ideally, if there were fundamental demands for that, and something like PCC or DC United or FAB or CCD.
There's been a motion on the floor to make it, because it's the day it's been seconded, but there's dissent. Representative Kirk, can you explain your dissent?
Speak loud.
I'm only saying dissent because the new entity has impacted a lot of children, and I'm all happy to be doing those speakers that are not necessarily happy with what's going on, but just a little bit before we finalize. I know that my next focus is to go take the proper people to do our necessary research and come to any involved finance.
Yes.
The point of having a vote today is because budgets are going to be due September 4th at 4 p.m. So we want people to be understanding their budget operating under the most current guidelines. For instance, this fall is a spring only option. Right? If it's not in the guidelines, we can't offer people this option. If you vote on it this time in September, it's disadvantaging to the group by not putting in this option.
Okay, so what? We're going to actually move to the speakers list a little more and then entertain other motions in a little bit because there is still a speakers. There are a couple of more people on the speakers list. VP Breeden. Oh, sure.
Well, when we get to go through whatever offensive question, the last paragraph remembers a white man at the city of mine. That's all.
Okay. So we are going to continue on with the speakers list. VP Breeden.
Thanks for coming, guys. So I put in on the second page under the middle, it says the decommission, so number four, the addition that you guys have requiring two and no more than four. Can you guys talk about the process and the process with making that addition? And can you also talk about that in relation to how many commissioners there are in total on the FFC?
Sure. So that's actually not really an issue to our guidelines. That was always a question there every time we interacted with this group, the budget hearing and the 2-4 commissioner forum. That was removed last year by mistake when we made these new changes. We just forgot to put it in there. So this is actually reverting back to how I've always been. And so it's normal for our commissioners.
Next on the speakers list is Representative Iwaoka.
Hi. Well, I was wondering why or who decides
if
that's a benefit. So, my quick
technically, the SIAC commissioner reviewing the application will be the first issue chance to decide that. That will then be reflected to the organization in their application. They can come in during their hearing and that's approved further that it is in their line. The SIAC then will present that again. The SIAC executive board is signing off on it. If your disagrees with their ruling, it can appeal to the appropriations committee who will decide how they bring in the SIAC for final approval. So there is a number of checks now. Thank you.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Fonati.
Yeah, I have another question to the president. So, when the teachers' organization that requests funding, we usually have only between 2 and 4 people, like at every time. Why do you have asking not to go to the family?
No, he said it was similar to me. Active listening, Renee. Come on, though.
I'm not sure if you've been here forever, but in terms of the number of people that we have on our commission, we only have 38 commissioners. So unlikely we would ever get more than 4 people ever reviewing an hearing because of the number of commissioners that we have to review. So, small practicality for the maximum. If you were to remove it, I don't think more than 4 people would ever be reviewing what they
actually have.
So, you might want to come here.
Not that long ago, when the SAC used to have fields separate hearings, but the hearings are basically what the whole commission would do. And you would have 16 people discussing each of at 50 or 60 appeals, and it was not a manual process. So there was a decision several years ago to limit the hearing to 18 people.
Thank you. Next on the speaker's list is Vice President Gitlin.
My one question is if we could go to the respective meetings areas. When you ask about that, do you plan on graduating or do you think
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Kerr. Seconded. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. Representative Marshall, do you want to explain your dissent? If we move it to business of the day, we'd still go back. That doesn't mean we're going to immediately begin voting. If it were passed to business of the day, that doesn't mean we would be voting on it immediately. We'd go back into the speaker's list while it's business of the day.
Yeah, it just means you can state opinion rather than ask questions.
Right, that means you can debate and speak opinion instead of just questions alone. But again, it is moved to business of the day. What, excuse me?
So he's asking.
Yeah, do you want to? So you want, okay, so you want to, okay, so do you retract your dissent? You withdraw your dissent. Okay. So I'm just going to ask again for procedural. Is there any dissent to moving it to business of the day? Seeing none, resolution 3 is now business of the day. We're opening up the speakers list again, and Jill, I'll put you on it after Representative Scalfo.
Hi. Oh, wait. It's me? Are you?
Yeah.
All right. What's going on? Sorry. So it's like exactly what you just said before this whole little conversation. Are any organizations planning on using all of their funding in the fall or the spring? And this has been brought up to you already.
Sure. Yeah. I can say that a few organizations have, in fact, contacted us pursuing the fall only or spring only funding options. We talked about it at our health session this week. Tuesday, Wednesday, about the organization. We also emailed specifically those organizations who are getting a spring advance option last year to target those specific organizations we saw might need it. So we have, in fact, gotten the word out to those specific organizations that we feel would want to take advantage of the option. So I am confident that there will be some organizations wanting to do this. Yes.
No, you don't. So next on the speakers list is Representative Marshall. Given the amount of time that we have left, I'm changing speaker's time from a minute to 30 seconds. There's like 10 seconds. Next on the speaker's list is Executive Vice President Mueller. Yeah.
I just wanted to reiterate to everybody who, especially people who are looking at all this for the first time, this is like their first big vote, that remember that we are in very much just sort of a parental role of SAFC almost. We're just watching out for big mess ups or something that's not really not right. And these are things that they are coming to us, running their organization year round. You know, we're not sitting in their seats every day. And they know these are things that they are telling us they need to do to procedurally run their meetings on a weekly basis and to run budgets for this year. And I think if they tell us that and there's nothing that is blatantly wrong with what they're telling us, then we are doing a disservice to them by not letting them get their job done.
Thank you. Next on the speaker's list. Oh. What? There wasn't time left there. But do you want to be on? Yeah.
This was discussed over the summer by the
next on the speaker's list is Representative Iwoka.
Iwoka.
So
So I agree with Representative Marshall completely. I do not think that this clause falls under the scope of the SAFC's mission. I think that your clause in number 5, part 6, says the event must not have a primary purpose of raising funds for profit, for taking care of the situation of people using our money to raise money for their own profit. Therefore, I think that clause should be stripped from this resolution.
Thank you. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Bonacci. Yes. Oh.
There's a statement.
All right. There is a motion on the floor to strike the line, section 8223. We're now going to open the speaker's list. Okay. We're now going to open the speaker's list on this amendment to strike. And first, and Enrico, you're going to have, when we go back to the other speaker's list, you can go back or you can get on this one. So first on this speaker's list is Representative Mueller. VP Mueller.
Fine. I completely understand where you're both coming from, Representative Marshall and Iwoka, but I very strongly believe that there are these systems of checks and balances. If a group does not agree with the decision of an individual commissioner, they can appeal to the SAFC. If they don't agree with the decision of the SAFC, they can appeal to all of us sitting here. And that has happened in the past, and it's a system that does not get utilized often because the SAFC is very truly a pretty impartial group that prides itself on being impartial and making these decisions as best they can. And I yield the rest of my time to O'Neill.
Here's actually next. You're actually next anyway, so you have a full 30 seconds.
The reason that the previous policy mentioned about something that's really comes from strongly doesn't include this, and it came up last year on the budget that I actually reviewed, was Section 569 was primary or substantive purpose of. So these are any event that's actually sort of like doing something. So I could be, you know, the mutual investment called for Cornell, and I just decided to throw like a 18th century bolt sponsor. The primary substantive. But I'm still thinking you can raise money. I'm like, I know it sounds really ridiculous, and you've had organizations that
have done something
like that.
Well played. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Kerr.
I agree with you most of the subject because I feel like there was a bad ticket organization from being created. You know, ultimately, the SAFC and the FAA need to use their judgment. Make sure it falls within their realm anyway. I feel like that's always been a de facto function of the SAFC. But when the language of that changes, it stifles what you're trying to do to events. It expands their mission. So when you can, if you're judging them, say, I'm happy to.
Next on the speaker's list is Trustee Boris.
So I trust that you can sign up with you guys, but I still don't agree with this statement. And I think there's two reasons for that. The first is, I'm not sure if you should start a group from using small money from SAFC to raise funds for themselves, which only ends up sustaining students from the long term. So that shows like more than that. But even if you don't do that, the way it is supported rules out so much more than that event that I wouldn't catch it, even if you thought that was a good thing. Myself being part of a group that often takes erratic actions that may not need to be primarily part of our purpose, I think this is very limiting to both the creativity of groups, but also the tactics we choose to get down to the money of that.
I'm sorry, what? There's a motion to extend. Does anyone second? It's been seconded? Sure.
Layers of checks and balances to prevent someone like nearly
your side of things.
To
direct it to me.
So, do you know if that route study comes out of their working budget? Let's say they're tier 2 when they're passing 2960. So, does that mean that they have to combine all their funds in that one round or that's a separate 5,000 from their
taxes? So, I'm going to yield to.
Motion to extend the meeting by 5 minutes.
There's been a motion to extend the meeting by 5 minutes. Is that seconded? Okay. There's a motion to extend the meeting, and it was seconded, but there's dissent. So we are going to vote. So we are going to vote on whether we continue this meeting. Exactly.
Like 5 minutes.
I'm okay with extending this, except for the fall and spring only, and the forum specifically. I feel like especially the fall and spring only, we need to have that in by Tuesday, so there's kind of 5 for the funds that we need. So if we want to postpone everything else, I'm okay with having that discussion, but I really, really, really urge you to at least pass that part.
Okay. So there's a motion on the floor to only pass at this time clause 8.
You have to
right?
The latter is the same final clause what? And the second is the clause.
I didn't know.
Point of order, what is on the floor right now?
Okay, I'm extending this meeting by 10 minutes, okay? We're right now, we're talking, there's a motion on the floor to consider only voting on 8. That's what's right now. And then in addition to that, there is, on the floor, there's a motion to strike 3, which we have to get to before. First, we have to get to the motion to only vote on 8, and then we can move to striking 3 again. Is there any objections to only voting on clause 8 right now? It would be. Yes.
Could we just say
we're going to go to Parliamentarian Santangelo.
So the easiest way to do this is to pass the division of this question. We will vote on the first part, which says the clause 8. We'll vote on that. Then we'll go back to the all the rest of them. We'll postpone that to the next meeting and then we'll adjourn.
You can't right now because we're in the middle of a amendment to it. So is there any dissent to cutting up the resolution so that we're voting on 8, on clause 8, and then voting on the rest of the resolution? Seeing none, is that okay with you guys? Seeing none, we are now going to, by placard vote on. Okay. By roll call, we're going to vote on Section 8. Chelsea, whenever you get the chance, please call the roll.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, at this moment, we're voting on whether or not we want to pass 8. Section 8 alone, which is on the last page of the resolution in bold. That's the only thing we're voting on right now. Okay.
Yes.
You live proxy, yes.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
you can.
Okay.
Yes.
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 Yes. Proxies, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. 18-01. Okay. By a vote of 18-0-1, clause 8 passes. We are now going to move back into the remainder of the resolution, which is everything except for 8.
Motion to postpone to next.
There's, okay, there was a million motions thrown out on the floor. There's been a motion to adjourn. Well, we first have to motion to table. There's been a motion to table. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, that concludes the agenda, and we're going to move into executive session. So everyone has to stay a little bit. For everyone who doesn't... Just a quick thing before I tell everyone to leave. Even though this seems like little things that we're arguing about, with sort of in reality, it's the rules that will govern 400 to 500 student organizations and getting funding and the events that they plan. So it's easy to, you know, get involved in the nitty gritty, but we also have to keep in mind that we're thinking about what's going on this campus as well. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. So now we're moving into executive session, which means only members of the student assembly can be here. Thank you guys very much for coming today, and good luck with your campaigns.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.